I made it.
Wait, Matt made it?
Yeah,
Yay! Oh,
I realized I didn't
hurrah!
have the link. I had to register. I'm
Oh,
sorry.
okay. Yeah. Sorry, that's my job to tell you to do that, and I'm usually really good about it, but apparently I missed this week. Usually the people say, "Hey, where's the link?" And then I'm like, "Oh, yeah," and then I send them the link. But with you, I totally forgot, and I had a
That's
phone number.
okay.
It wasn't the right phone number. It was like, some whatever. Anyway, hello.
Hi.
Welcome. So I was
Nice to
just
meet
getting
you.
ready to share this little introductory thing that I just watched, and it was called, let me see. Oh, it should still be copied in my thing, so I could just copy it in there, I think. Yes, and then I will say share, and I will share that screen. Share. Okay.
Oh, that's so old.
Yeah, and we're not getting the audio, I don't think.
Oh, whoops. Really?
Yeah, because you have to do that checkbox for that you're going to do
Okay, well,
audio.
that's okay. I'll just stop sharing. How do I stop sharing?
Oh, you stopped. You already
Okay.
stopped sharing.
Okay. Anyway, this is Matt Duhamel. Originally, he was going to talk about one thing because he does lots of things, but now he's going
Well,
to talk about this thing, and I'm pretty excited about this thing. So I don't mind that you changed your mind at the last minute. I mean, it wasn't the last minute. You gave me plenty of notice.
I start projects, some don't work. Some don't work. Some fail and but I try to do something in hopes that it will work. And but it's always kind of the same idea, same concept where storytelling really is what my focus is. And I might know a few people in here. I know Janice. In fact, Janice, Bellucci, I believe that's how you say it,
Yep, that's right.
is we're hoping, planning to her be at the film festival. It's the Metamora Film Festival. She's going to be speaking next March in Pueblo, Colorado. So anyway,
Wow.
just to do a quick introduction. I don't have anything fancy planned, nothing crazy. I just wanted to introduce myself and kind of make you aware of some things that I'm doing and meet everybody. And I've been on the War Room before, but it's been a while. It's been probably at least 5 or 6 years. But I have lived experience with incarceration. I was incarcerated from late 2007 to early 2012, so about 4 years and a month. And in a federal prison in Texas,
Which
and
one?
Siegelville.
My partner was in Texarkana. Sometimes, that's
Oh,
the.
okay. Luckily, I got out of there before COVID because it was a bad situation. Well, it was a bad situation everywhere, but I specifically remember hearing stuff about Siegelville, Texas prison there about COVID and what a disaster. But so I have that
Got it.
experience. Unfortunately, I had to go through that experience of incarceration and and federal probation, and I'm currently on the registry, and I have a side story about that, but if there's time, about the difference, because I lived in Colorado for only 4 months and I just moved back to Oregon 2 weeks ago, and there's a dramatic difference
Wow.
between the registration requirements and the levels. Same
Oh,
effect, just
Oregon is like a, it's a
yeah.
winner. You know,
Or
yeah. I think a lot of us know that Oregon, there's like Florida and Oregon, and they're so
yeah,
different.
exactly the opposite. Washington is very similar too. And so I think, though I like Colorado a lot, not to get off track, but though I like Colorado a lot, the scenery and everything, and it comes with a lot of other issues. Not the worst state by any means, but anyway, got off track. So I've been incarcerated myself, and ever since I've been out of prison since 2012, I've done some project, and mainly surrounding the storytelling and the filming and the video and the podcasting and things like that. And I started a small company called Metamora Films, and did some documentary film work. I was really crazy about it because I was on probation and I wanted to restart my life and really get going and do good things for people and tell people stories. And I did like five low budget documentary and a short film in like a period of 5 years. It's like I went
Wow.
crazy. And then the divorce happened, and I moved to Washington, and I have not technically done a documentary film since 2017, but I am changing that because I'm working new things.
Divorce takes a little bit of a kick out of your step.
Yeah,
You don't
it
need
really
to, you don't
does.
need to, sh you don't need to like make yourself feel bad for taking a break from something during a
Well, yeah, I
divorce.
mean, it's financially too. It's, you know, it's finances and trying to, and you know, and also the story of, and people know of trying to survive as a registrant and having a sex offense on your record and lack of employment, and all these things have affected my ability to really do what I want to be able to do. And that really comes down to financing. I mean, you know, finances. But anyway, so I took a short, quite a bit of a break with filmmaking, but I have been involved with an organization called Connecting for Justice. I do recommend people check that out. Connecting for, the number four, for justice. And they're actually having a conference coming up in November in Las Vegas. Everybody wants to go to Vegas. So, they're having, and it's not so much, it's not specifically on sex offenses, but it does cover that. And I know Kayla very well. In fact, she is going to be fiscal sponsoring the Storyrise project, which I'll talk in a minute. So I helped with her, did some, you know, filming for her conferences and things like that, and started some projects and podcasts. You know, some of them went well, some of them didn't. Sometimes I got harassed, you know, online, and took a break from that. And but now I have decided to, you know, rebuild Metamora Films as a film, small film production company that focuses on the criminal legal system, as a lot of people will say. Now, I mean,
Right, because there
I
ain't
do
no
say,
justice in the criminal legal system.
yeah, criminal. I mean, you'll hear me
Not
say
known for
criminal justice.
justice.
Yeah. And that's what I, you know, it's almost like a nonprofit. You know, I'm not, it's not a money maker or anything, but I am holding, as Anne had mentioned, and everybody got their emails, I guess, that I'm holding a film festival in Pueblo, Colorado at the community college there next March. You can also get virtual tickets. Just email me, I'll get you a free pass. They're normally just $10. I'll just give you like a free ticket. And what the virtual pass is, it's not streamed live or anything, but what you do is you'll be able to see all the films that were accepted into the film festival. So you'll be able to watch those. And then conference, I mean, post film festival, I'm going to create some videos. I'm going to have a videographer there separately filming things. And so you'll get some videos of how things went, and maybe if some filmmakers are there, interviews with filmmakers. And if you're ever in Pueblo, we'd love to have you. So I'm accepting films, projects from all over the country until February. And that can be anywhere from, you know, prison, mass incarceration, sex offenses, the registry. In fact, I just emailed a few filmmakers today. I didn't see it, but I saw a preview of a documentary that I was not aware of. It's called In Circles. It's kind of older, but it is about, let's see if I can find it. In Circles. They have not submitted their film, but it's from 2018. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let's see where. Anyway, I can't find it right now, but it's a good film, and I'm hoping that they'll submit their film to the festival. And we're hoping for a good turnout. It'll be a 2-day event at the community college. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of college students come in, Janice. And I also have a filmmaker that actually won an Academy Award that will be there, talking about his film. And I think we're going to have a special presentation with him. So that is kind of what is going on with the film festival part of it. And I invite people to check that out. It's metamorafilmfestival.com. And then the other project that I recently, this is very, very new, but I'm very excited about it because it's about storytelling. It's about people in the community that have been affected by prison and the registry, and anybody that wants to talk about it. And I think I had a few submissions today, emails maybe from one of the group here, and I'll take a look at it. It's called the StoryWrize Project. So storywriseproject.org. And really the summary of this, and I'll just read it here. It's the StoryWrize Project in partnership with Connecting for Justice is a national initiative dedicated to capturing, sharing, and honoring the lived experiences of justice impact individuals through in-person storytelling spaces, mobile recording units, and strategic partnerships with libraries and community centers. We empower people to rise through narrative and connect their stories to advocacy and reentry services. So picture this as like a mobile recording, interview setup type style with either a video camera or audio or even written. Our first, I don't know really what to call it yet, our first live, or not live, but local event is going to be in Astoria, Oregon, at the local public library. And I will be there once a week for about 2 months, over a 2 month period, allowing people to come into a private room and basically just talk into the camera or a microphone and tell people what they've been through, how they made it through it. What kind of person they were before it happened compared to what they are, how they are now, how it's affected their family, stories like that. And I'm just going to be capturing these stories and hopefully changing the narrative of what people assume of people that have been through prison or that are on the registry. It's going to be an ongoing project, and my goal, hopefully this will work, is to have it in different cities, not just my local area, but have people, volunteers in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Boston, wherever, capturing these stories from people. And this can also be done through Zoom. So if you're interested in talking about your story, I can capture that through Zoom. Not an interview back to back. I'm not going to be in the shots. I'm going to kind of guide the person telling the story, just guide with certain questions. All you're going to see on the video is you, not me, and anything you want to add to the story, maybe photos or video clips or something like that that I can edit in. But that's kind of, and then also at these local events, I'm going to have some reentry resources for people and helping them through if they have questions about whatever is affecting them. Different resources in Oregon and nationally. I actually thought of this idea when I was in Colorado, and I was excited to get back here to start it because I don't think where I was in Colorado was going to work for this. And I just think Oregon, even though Astoria is a small place, it just feels better here. I don't know why. I think people are more in tuned with this conversation versus Southern Colorado in a very small town. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So that's kind of the summary of the two things that I'm working on. Again, the StoryWrize project is fiscally sponsored. So though I'm not technically a 501c3 nonprofit, if you decide to donate, it'll go through Connecting for Justice and it'll be tax exempt. Yeah. So I
Nice. All right.
really
Well, I see a hand up. Can I take a question?
Yeah, fire
All
away.
right, John. Whoops, unmute. Oh, I see the
Matt,
chat.
how you doing? It's been a long time since we talked, and the last time we talked, you were on my radio show.
Oh my goodness, I remember, John. You this is when I was lived in Lincoln City, Oregon, I believe. Yeah, I remember. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I wanted to pass along a couple of bits and pieces of information to you and to get your okay along with this. The most important bit is that this Friday and Saturday, a group called Decarcerate Arkansas is going to be having its state conference. And I've been invited to attend in part because of the radio show. And what you were talking about, with StoryWrize Project, Connecting for Justice, and all, a number of the people who are going to be there, they're really pushing hard for people who have been formerly incarcerated to attend this particular conference. Now, for sure,
Not everyone there is going to be on the registry. I don't know how many registrants that will show up or members of their family who would show up. But a couple of things, and I'd like to everybody who's listening in, even though it's not going to be, if you will, registrant specific, if everybody on this call, if you have any possible question or information that you'd like for me to share with these groups, if you would email that information to me where I could get it to the right people. But Matt, I would like to get, if it's okay with you, I'd like to share at least the contact information for StoryRise Project with any and all interested folks who are
Oh,
at this particular conference.
definitely. That would be wonderful. I appreciate that. It's called what is it?
Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat if
Go
you
ahead.
would. And let's see, the other thing is,
Decarcerate Arkansas.
Oh,
yeah,
decarcerate. Yeah.
decarcerate Arkansas. And another thing, now this was a few years ago, and for full disclosure, I'm in it a little bit. There was a documentary that was being made about our fellow registrant, Guy Hamilton Smith, but
Yeah, that rings a bell.
it kind of fell by the wayside because of lack of funding. The recommendation I've got is if you know the folks who are doing it, or if you can get in touch with Guy Hamilton Smith, would there be some way maybe StoryRise Project could step in and maybe help get that particular documentary finished and off the ground?
I know that name, and
Guy,
I
he was incarcerated in Kentucky. He started out as a paralegal, and he made national news a few years ago because he wanted to become a full-fledged attorney, and the Kentucky
Okay.
bar turned him down simply because of his status on the registry. He's in now. He's in or just outside Washington, D.C. He is a full-fledged attorney, and he is with, I forget if he has his own law firm or if he's with a firm, but of course, you know, he's still right in
Okay.
the thick of a lot of registrant and registry-related issues.
Sure. I mean, I would be interested in learning more. I mean, I'm just it's just me, so I'm very small. Doing a story would be great. A full-fledged documentary would be challenging. It would need to be like funded somehow. But I definitely would be interested in connecting with him.
I cannot recall the name of the
Yeah.
filmmaker, but they were
Oh.
doing it. They had me step in and do an interview, an on-camera interview with him a few years ago, and it was after that that they came back and they were trying to do some more, I think, like the following year. But since then, their funding ran out and they had to, if you will, shelve the project. But I was under the impression that it was well over halfway completed. So again, I said that was my impression. But Guy would probably have their contact information, and he'd be the one maybe to contact
Okay.
about this particular documentary. Also, just for everybody's benefit, I got this letter from an inmate in one of our facilities here in Arkansas. And let me see, he has just a couple of sentences in here. I cannot help but feel the only way to ever make a change regarding criminal law is to make some noise about it. And let me see,
I agree.
he also he talks a little bit about the radio show. I would be glad to help in any way I can to provide you with what and whom you may need to get this message out. So there's another reason for talking with the folks at this upcoming Decarcerate conference.
Okay.
The
Okay.
and if you're aware of anyone in Arkansas, Matt, just not you, but everybody, the Decarcerate conference, I just got an update from them that no one will be turned away from attending this conference on account of inability to pay the registration fee or the attendance fee. So if you're aware of anyone, certainly here in Arkansas, who would need to know about this conference, let them know. It's going to be here in Little Rock. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn Presidential, which is, if you will, downtown Little Rock. And it's going to be Friday and Saturday from 10 until 5 Central Time. And they're going to have some panel sessions. They're going to have a record sealing and expungement clinic on the second day. So they've got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's some good information. I appreciate that. I see some of the speakers. Okay. Well,
All
yeah,
right.
let me know,
Thank you,
John,
Ben.
if anything comes up or and nice talking to you again. It's been a long time.
Well, Anne and Matt, both of you know that the radio station is still here, and believe it or not, I'm going to have to start putting together my program list for 2026 because I'm booked solid for the year unless I get a cancellation.
Oh my gosh,
But
that's great.
again, Matt, thank you. I wanted to, and I also want to get your updated contact information, including other ways to get in touch with you.
Sure. Yeah, I'll send
Okay.
it to you.
Let me put my email in the chat
Okay.
so that everybody
Okay.
has it.
Okay,
Okay,
sounds
thank
good.
you. And thanks for letting me
And
kind of
then, yeah, I'll put my information here as well, my email. On the Storyrise project and the film festival.
Thank you.
Sometime. Okay.
Perfect.
Any other questions that about the festival
Let's,
or
well,
Storyrise?
I know I put a question in the chat a little bit ago. I asked you
Oh yeah.
if you had heard of I was given a film that I saw or heard about called Predator. I don't know if you've heard
Yeah.
of that one.
I haven't, but I was looking that up and it says here the festival 2020 this year, True False Film Festival, which is big. I'll have to check that out. It's been this is I've done a film festival before, online only, and this is the first time that I'm doing it in person and criminal justice focused, that niche,
Right.
so it's kind of hard to find. It's so focused that I know I'm not going to have tons and tons of
Sure.
sessions.
Submissions. Right.
But I want to get like so basically it's 2 days. We're gonna have some guest speakers. We're gonna have some, I hope, some Q&A with the filmmakers, and then we're probably gonna have about 4 to 5 films per day, depending on how long they are. So a total of about 10 films. And so I'm trying to connect with some other filmmakers that might not know about it, and
Yeah.
but
Well,
I've got some
this would
good
be a
stuff.
good example.
Yeah,
It
yeah.
was it was like To Catch a Predator,
Okay.
except they did one of those things where they posted in a adult dating site, connect with this person,
Oh.
so somehow sucker the person, say that, then say that the person that they're talking to is underage, even though the picture wasn't underage and the age that they posted wasn't underage. All of a sudden they're underage. Anyway, so they're all, all these catch a predator dudes are sitting in a room getting ready to, arrest someone, and the person doesn't show up. He's
Okay.
changed his mind. The person who was gonna come has realized, oh, this is a dumb idea. So they go to his house, even though he hasn't, like, he didn't commit the crime, he didn't show up at the meeting place, he changed his mind. They
Okay.
go to his house. Turns out it's like the DA from that area. And as the DA sees this film crew coming up to his door, he kills himself.
So this guy did not go to the
He did
location. He's
not
back
go.
home.
He did not go, and he lost his life because these people were basically trying to create a crime.
Yeah, vigilante stuff. I'll check
Anyway,
that out and see
I
if I
thought
can
that was
get
a
them.
really interesting idea for a film.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I have thought of doing some new films, some documentary films, but again, I don't want to overload myself with too many projects and
Sure,
everything costs money,
sure.
but it's an area that I really want to do something on, but it's so hard to find something that's financially feasible,
Sure.
local, semi-local, where I don't have to keep traveling to film, and someone that wants to talk about
Yeah,
their
right. Yeah,
sex offense or their story publicly
that's
on
a
camera. Yeah, it's the last film I did was actually called Not for Rent, and it did discuss the housing challenges of people with a felony record, and it does feature a gentleman who was in Salt Lake City that is living with a sex offense, and on the don't know if he was on the register or not, but I think he was. And he was homeless, for 30 days living in a tent. And we kind of reenacted
30
that in the
days isn't that
film.
many days. You know, these
What?
days,
No, that's
30 days
not.
is not long.
No, I can't remember exactly how long, but it wasn't very long. I think he actually said he wanted to be away and live in like the wilderness or something to get
I
away
could
from people
understand
for a
that.
while and then kind of take a break. But he was living in a hotel style. It's still there in Salt Lake City where they house people that can't find housing. It's not a homeless shelter, but it's kind of a second chance housing type situation. So I was able to feature him in there, but to it's difficult. It's difficult to find right film subject.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, John's got his hand up again. Yes, John.
Is he
Oh.
muted? Oh, yeah, I think he's muted.
Yeah, I am. Okay. Matt, what you were talking about reminded me of something. Just today, Narsal put out a news report about a deputy prosecutor who was arrested in Reno, Nevada, on a sexual assault charge. I don't know if he was drunk at the time. I don't know, but apparently this happened in public. And you made me think. And in light of what happened to me, I don't know how you might want to describe it, but in my own instance, in light of what happened to me, I get a particular perverse pleasure, if you will, of reading about how people in authority, law enforcement, members of a court, people who are in positions of authority, and they wind up being hit with a sexual assault or sexual offense, and they're found guilty, and they wind up on the registry. And of course, I'm thinking of a couple of, if you will, classic examples, such as Dr. Larry Nassar.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I don't know if this would be of any possible interest or use, an idea for a film, but about the elephant in the room right now, Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, the people who are in positions of authority and how they are going to be caught up, just like the rest of us. Again, I don't know if that might be a topic of interest or maybe something within the groups that you work with that they might want to follow up on.
Yeah, that's interesting. Those are I guess I look for what I envision, and well, first of all, the stories that I'm gathering, especially the ones locally here, and remotely, through Zoom or wherever it may be, could turn into some kind of documentary film, of course, with people's permission. And I'm looking at the possibility of that. But I'm always looking for a film or a story or something that is like really in depth and really personal. And that's hard to find. Really focuses on one or two people's stories, like really in depth, where just you see the dramatic situation going on. And those are the easiest to film, I think, but it's the hardest to find the right person for it.
Well, it's not a documentary, but you again jogged my memory. If you remember some years ago, HBO, I believe it was HBO, put out the docudrama, Indictment, the McMartin trial. And of course, there's going to be some dramatic license taken. But it to me was an excellent and frightening account of the panic that you found with it was in a California daycare, and the real god-awful damage that it did to the family members. And then you had something like that, probably most infamously in Wenatchee, Washington, the so-called Satanic Panic.
Yeah, these moral panics. I've read about them, and I mean, I think we're seeing it now with with politics and all that, and like
No.
you said, Epstein. And not to upset anybody here in the meeting, but literally 15 minutes before I hopped on this call, I was just going through Facebook, And I saw a posting from a TV station I used to work at in Eugene, Oregon, and it talks about sex offender treatment and can sex offenders change? And I mean, you'll see it on StoryRise's project Facebook, but the comments were bad, were really bad. And that just emphasized for me, and I posted it. I shared it because that's why stories are so important, to see both sides of the story. I'm not condoning anything, some horrible acts, but people are really, I don't know how to put it, just really cruel and brutal right now because everything that's going on, and I can understand that,
Well,
but you know.
they're always cruel.
Well,
People
they're
are
always
always
cruel.
cruel about this topic. And my opinion on why people are always cruel about this topic is that, and I just see it, I got a hand up, two hands up. I think the reason people get really upset about this topic is because so many people were themselves abused or victimized, or any
Bullied.
woman has gone through something, and we don't really provide people with a way to heal from that. It's not a thing that, at least not in my family. And I had a family where everybody knew, don't leave your kids with grandpa.
It's
And nobody lets you heal from that. So some people do what I did, which is I just kind of forgave the person and kind of got over it and decided not to feed that wolf my whole life. But some people feed that wolf their whole life.
it's
Some people
shifting you.
just think yucky thoughts about it every minute of every day. And by the time they're 50 years old, they're spending all their time trolling things and writing nasty comments to strangers.
Yeah, it's shifting the blame and everything. And I think, and again, not to upset people, this is just what I've noticed. I don't know what everyone's situation is, if they have children incarcerated or on the registry, but it's gotten difficult. It's gotten more difficult, at least for me, when it comes to being a part of the community. And I'm concerned. I'm a little concerned about it doesn't have to be at a library, but what happens if the library says, "Oh, Matt's a sex offender," and so I do worry about that, but I've gotten to the point where I've tried to find certain employment. I can't do it. I've given up on that. I went on a very long, when I was in Colorado briefly, I went on a very long, like 300 application streak, which were all denied. I was offered a TV job in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It was taken away from me the next day when I discussed my situation. So I just say, screw that. And I've given up on that. And I'm doing my own things. I have to do something with my experience, and I want to, help other people doing it. It's difficult because I do hit a lot of brick walls.
Yeah.
But, I'm constantly trying things, and hopefully something sticks and really makes a difference. I think, the films that I did in the past were great, and I want to do more of that. So that's kind of the storytelling and everything is really where I'm focused.
Well, I'm excited about this next hand being raised. Michael Hare. I mean, Michael H. Michael H. I didn't say that.
It's all right. Everybody knows me.
Well, it saves me time.
Love the comments from the news program too, Matt. Those are nice.
Oh, thanks for following me, by the way. I'm sitting here with my Facebook up and it bang, Michael H.
Yeah, you know it. You know, Facebook will disconnect you if they know.
Oh
So.
yes, yes, they yeah. I recently took a break from Facebook myself, not to get off track, but yes, they would disconnect me. I have not had that happen.
I did.
My main Facebook page is a different name, and if it happens, it happens, I guess. But you did. You got it knocked off.
And so that's why I really don't befriend anybody. I just connect, follow people and some groups from some stuff I'm taking. So, but I mainly use LinkedIn for business. So anyway, but
Yes,
yes,
LinkedIn.
what love what you're doing. I'm a filmmaker as well. Love to talk to you more in some depth at some point in time about some stuff I got going on and maybe some ways we can help each other. I didn't hear most of your presentation because I just got on the call, but reading your website sounds very, very interesting and encouraging. So
Thank you.
kudos.
Oh, and the website is still under construction. The storyriseproject.org is still under construction, so I'm working on it as we speak. So some pages will not come up right now, but that should be all done in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know David Smith?
Smith. No.
He's one of the Narsal people in Virginia, but he has a film festival called the In Thrive Film Festival, and
Really? Oh.
he is touring that, and it celebrates the triumphs of previously incarcerated people, and
Nice.
through Indiana Voices, Indiana Cure, and in an alliance with Reform Alliance, we're bringing it to South Bend, Indiana on the 27th of this month. So if anybody's
Wow.
near South Bend, it is a free festival to attend. So.
All these last-minute things. I wish I would have come. Can you send that to me in chat, like what you just said, that name of the film festival? I want to check it out. I was
Sure,
aware. Yeah,
absolutely.
put it in the main chat.
Yeah, the main chat. Thank you.
I thought I thought I had, I think I am in the main chat. Is that where you posted? Yeah, I think so. Okay, sounds good.
Great.
Anyway, I'll connect with you later and we'll talk.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
Excuse me for breaking in, but if you're wanting to post something, I only see Chuck and C and Matt as the recipients.
In the everyone chat?
I don't see it listed on mine.
Oh.
I just see you and
Okay,
Chuck
well, hang on. I
and
went
Matt.
to,
And
and
you
we're
can
just
change
messaging
that.
ourselves.
Yeah, you
I
can
thought I
change
went,
that at the three dots.
I went to host tools
No,
and it
go
said
to chat.
all.
Go to chat and the three
Yep.
dots in chat where you save it.
Participant can chat with.
Oh, everyone. Got it.
Well, it already says participant can chat with everyone.
Oh, okay.
Does everybody see the oh, there. Okay, Michael just sent that. Okay, in Thrive. Okay. Hey, you know, that's great. I was not aware of this. That is awesome. I'll have to connect with them. You said that he runs it, Michael, or he has a film in it?
No, he runs the festival.
Oh,
It's
okay.
his deal, and then he also does some consulting for, I mean, he's a lobbyist on his regular job.
Okay.
So he's very connected to the cause and to what's going on in the world. But this is mainly to celebrate the successes of previously incarcerated people, not just people with a sex offense.
Oh, that's great,
So.
though. I like that
We do
idea.
need lobbyists, Larry. You were right about that. I don't know how many of you were on a couple of months ago, maybe. I don't remember when it was. When Joanne from MOFAR, the Missouri Alliance for Family Liberal Restoration, she came on for a few minutes and just talked about the successes that Missouri has had. They hired two lobbyists this year, and we had two like shitty legislators who were just constantly putting forth bills that made things hard for us. And through just good relationships, they managed to talk both of these legislators into like saying, oh, wait, so you think you're, getting justice for this and this and this, but did you realize that you're probably also causing, these kinds of collateral consequences that you probably didn't think
Yeah.
about? And, and in both cases, the legislator basically sort of acknowledged, yeah, I didn't see it that way. Both of them said that they found both of these lobbyists were not just, knew what they wanted to do and were just doing that. They weren't just, feeding a certain kind of constituent. He said both of them l really wanted to see both sides of something. They just had not thought of the other side of it. And so since they, basically talked to them about it, both lobby or both legislators have like quit pushing their bill. They didn't not put their bill forward, but they quit pushing it. And nothing happens in Missouri if you're not on top of that thing all the time.
I think, and that's my hope for these stories and these films to, not just have these stories that people can watch, but really to change people's, like politicians too,
Hearts and mind. Yeah.
thought process and all that. And to make some change. One thing that I have not been, I have to admit, being on the registry and constantly, well, I, Years ago, I did a podcast called The Outspoken Offender. Does that ring a bell with anybody? This shows how not popular it was. But
Well,
anyway,
I haven't been doing this that many years.
that's true. It was difficult. I did it for about 2 years, and I did have some problems with some people, but it got difficult for me to do it emotionally because I was constantly looking at laws. I was constantly looking at restrictions, and it was just upsetting. I would just get so like frustrated, like, how can they do this to people in wherever? And so that's kind of why I took a break from that. But being on the registry and also being someone out there to talk about those issues is difficult.
Yeah, if I can throw in again here, I people ask me for facts all the time, and they seem to think that the facts are going to change people. But the more I do this kind of stuff, I've got 20 plus years in advocating, and it's really the stories that change people, and then you can throw them the facts, but they won't take the facts until you tell them the story. So we definitely need more of this.
Yeah, and I'm really hoping to get local people. That's one thing I started this idea of I'm just going to do this at a community center or wherever and have a setup where people can come and maybe in a bigger city, but here in Astoria, Oregon, with population of maybe the whole area, maybe 20,000, I don't know how many stories I'm going to get in person. But I think, down the road as this thing grows, is my hopes that gather an entire, database of, or collection of how the system affects people and children of incarcerated parents. That's huge. Juvenile justice, all that stuff. I'm just excited. I talked to the library today, in fact, and they seem excited to allow to kind of host it here locally. So they are building a new library, so the restoration of the library here. So it looks like our local event won't start until the end of next month, but that gives me some time to get organized and stuff. Sometimes.
Have you heard of the Chicago 400?
I think so.
Lori Jo Reynolds helped put that together. She's in Chicago, and she works for a university there. And so this is 400 guys that are homeless, primarily because well, they remain homeless primarily because of their duty to register every 7 days and their inability to get a job in the way that Chicago handles the registrations. And so they have spoken at a number of different events, and there are a number of them that are willing to tell their stories. So that may be something to consider down the line as
Oh,
well.
again, any resources very helpful. Thank
All right,
you.
we have two hands up.
Yeah.
I don't care who goes first. Gio,
Hi
you
there.
are first in
Yep.
alphabetical order.
Hi there. Hey Matt, my name's
Hey.
Gio, and I'm just excited to connect. This is my first time connecting with the war room. So, hello everyone.
Nice. Nice
I'm
meeting
from
you.
Florida. I've been on probation for
All
about
right.
3 years now. Yeah, and I was a camera assistant in the film industry for about 8 years, about 7 years before my situation. And
Wow.
I was a focus puller, and I
Okay.
loved my job.
That's tough.
I worked on Last Chance U, Netflix documentaries, sports documentaries,
Oh, man.
and I lost sight of the creativity because I felt really heavy in the tech side of things, but I never like lost sight of creating and creativity. So I've been out for 3 years now, and I'm so many stories, so many projects I'm trying to create. I created some shorts on YouTube. Some advocacy shorts, and I'm just trying to figure out like how to make time and how to do this.
Oh.
You managed to do at least, you said, five projects while you were on probation, or
Well, yeah, well, I can see where I was able to do that is I was working part-time and I was not that my wife financed everything, but I was married at the time. So we did have some income coming in and I had some income coming in. So it made it a little bit easier. Now that I've been single and trying to survive on my own since 2017, that has become a problem. But oh, I have plenty of time. I just don't have the finances. But you're wondering about making time. Is it time that you have a problem with? that you don't have, you're doing other
It,
things or?
it's both. It's because I work full time now as a as an apprentice electrician. So,
Oh, okay.
yeah, I'm working just 40 hours a week, burnt
I'll
out
trade you.
every day. Yeah, really?
No,
Yeah.
yeah, it man, it's tough, but the good thing is you have an income coming in and you
Yeah,
can
it's
use
steady.
some of that money hopefully to finance some of these things or you know.
Yeah.
Well, when I, you know, I spent a lot of just nights and weekends and I didn't have much of a social life. I don't have it now, so I have a lot of time. I would just say don't focus on too many things at once. Like I think that's sometimes my issue, but try not to focus on too many things at once and just follow what you're really, really interested in. Like I could sit here and say, oh, I'm gonna start doing film and a photo for real estate, for the real estate market. It'll bring money in, maybe, but do I see myself really passionate about that? No, you know. And so I don't, I you know, I decided not to get involved with that. I mean, obviously you have to have a regular job, but I don't know, just focus on one thing, see how that goes. If it doesn't, you know, give it some time. If you don't see it progressing, maybe try something else. Yeah, you know, it's hard because, you know, when you try to create a documentary or a narrative, you have that issue with who's going to work with me? Because I have a sex offense. Who's going to work with me? So I basically call myself the lone filmmaker, in a way. Not that I haven't worked with other people, you know, but it's always that fear that if they find out,
Yeah,
yeah,
that's where
you
I'm at right now. I still have my old Staff Me Up account,
yeah, old
and
staff.
I've had a ton of jobs under that. Thankfully I can rank pretty high and get a job, but it's like to see my name on a call sheet now, and this is such a like reputation heavy industry, so your
Yes.
name, like you
Yeah.
get Googled right away, they want to see what you've done. So I haven't been able to navigate that. I've been thinking about editing remotely, like trying to set up an editing thing at home, and maybe changing that
That's
account
good.
to like an
Yeah.
editing account, and if they look me up, whatever, but I'm not on set. I'm not, it's not where my heart is. I
Isn't
love
that a
being on set. I
shame?
love filming.
Yeah. Isn't that a shame where we have to just feel
Really
like we
is.
can't be around other people, you know. To this day, I don't know. I did a really low budget short film, but I'm proud of it because it's a personal thing about my daughter when I was incarcerated and stuff. But I don't know if they ever knew. I never told them. We shot for a day only, but I understand you're getting paid for these things and they're going to look you up or whatever. Even though I have a different name on Facebook, which is my mother's maiden name. Oh, I shouldn't say that actually. It's like, I don't,
I'll try to remember to edit that out.
yeah, I don't love.
Although, if you want me to really edit it out, say first and last name right now. Not that one, like Jane Doe. Now, when I edit this one, I'll play what you just
Oh,
said.
okay.
Maybe I'll edit
Yeah.
that out.
See, if some people say, don't you use your real name? Don't use your real name. And I can understand that to certain things, but when I'm involved in anything like this, that's the whole reason why I'm doing this, is because I was unfortunately arrested for this crime, this internet crime and everything. And so I don't want to be afraid to share my name. But if you've got a regular job, you're working at, you know, wherever, it's difficult because yes, you're worried about other people looking me up. I was in the wedding and event industry for 8 years. That just ended a few months ago. Total disaster ending. I won't get into it. But I was extremely lucky not to have an incident at a wedding. I was a wedding DJ and a videographer. And I'm thinking, I am really risking this because if someone was to find out, especially like as it's happening at a wedding, there was a few cases where some wedding planners did find out about me and canceled some of their weddings, but I was able to kind of stop it and it didn't advance anywhere. I'm like, I don't, you know, I gotta end this, you know, I
The
gotta
whole
end this.
thing is just people. What people need to understand is that every one of y'all is one click, one
Yes.
child, one partner, one
Yes.
dad, one brother. You are one click away, and they don't ever take the ne the negatives, the illegal stuff down. The illegal
No.
stuff that's on the internet has been on the, you know, some of it's been on the internet since They raided downtown Manhattan in 1972 before the Democratic National Convention. They found a lot of prepubescent porn, and a lot of the like, there's not a lot of prepubescent porn being made. And I don't think there ha like, at least that's what the book I read said. But that
Yeah.
porn from 1972 is still on the internet. And when they arrest someone using that porn from 1972, they pay a fee to the now 48-year-old adult woman who was in those videos in the 70s. So basically, the cops are selling prepubescent porn. Melinda, your turn. I'm sorry it took so long.
Yes, they
Okay.
do own a lot of the images, by the way, Larry. Yeah.
Hi, Matt. My name is
Hi.
Melinda, and I am the parent of an autistic son who's impacted by the criminal legal system. He's currently incarcerated in the state of Pennsylvania. And I was just curious, would you have any interest in like really honing in and focusing on autistic people getting tangled up in the legal system, because most of them have charges of crimes of a sexual nature.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if you had any interest in anything like that.
Well, I haven't thought, I mean, I have heard stories and I've seen brief articles and I haven't really, really focused on it, but I have read some instances.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know much about it, but I, of course that would definitely interest me. If I could find, there's a lot of areas that I'm interested in, and it's not just about sex offenses, it's about jobs and housing and specifically the public perception and the rejection, the social rejection, things like that. But if I could find the right film subject or someone that's willing to share their story, I'm all for it, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, clearly I've gone.
How long ago did that happen?
My son has been incarcerated for over 4 years now.
Okay.
How much longer does
So,
he have?
well, his sentence was 4 to 10 years. He sees parole again this December, so they can keep saying no until 2031, essentially, is what they can do.
Goodness. Okay.
Yeah, clearly
It
I've
depends
gone
on how
deep.
many empty beds they have. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
I've gone.
sorry. I can't, I don't know. I can't imagine. I don't know much about that subject. I don't know what,
It's,
yeah. I don't
yeah.
understand how they, but one thing is I don't understand how, why can't they create something different in that type of situation? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to word it, but
Like a
a
diversion
different sex.
program. That's
Yes, yes.
it's exactly the right answer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm working on that with a couple of my state senators. So I'm trying. But I have gone obviously pretty deep down this rabbit hole since I'm living in this hell. And I am, part of an organization called Decriminalize Developmental
Developmental disabilities.
Disabilities. So as
Nice.
far as like people with stories, I there's a
You've
lot.
got,
There's a lot.
yes, there is,
And just yeah. And so like I said, it was really just I was more, interested in knowing if you had any interest in that, because my brain's thinking like, could we get funding from different like autism organizations, the bigger ones?
It's that's the hardest, really. I mean, everything comes down to, I mean, not everything, but in this creative industry, it's money and it's grants. And but now that I'm fiscally sponsored and I can go on and apply for grants, I can, of course ask for donations, but grants and things like that through Connecting for Justice. And I never had that opportunity before. Here I am looking for a nonprofit to fiscally sponsor me just recently. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Connecting for Justice. Hello. I mean, she reminded me, like, why don't you just go under our nonprofit? I'm like, oh my goodness, because I'm going to their conference in November to film and everything. So, but yes, I have the equipment to film and do a story, but I think the travel is the hardest. And I'm not one a big, I don't love doing a lot of interviews over Zoom. I like to be in person if I can. It just looks so much better. And it's, so it comes down to traveling and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right, John.
Melinda, this is for your benefit. You should, if you haven't done so, you need to contact, let me see, I think he recently retired.
Fairly.
Professor of Law Larry Dubin. That's Dubin. He was teaching law at the University of Detroit, one of their campuses. His son is on the autism spectrum, and his son, young adult son, was arrested on charges of inappropriate behavior online. And what's so very interesting, you're nodding, you may have heard about this, but his son, and he co-wrote a book about the registry, all the issues involving people who are on the autism spectrum. So if you have not been in touch with him, you really need to.
Thank you very much, John. And actually, yes, I am very familiar with both Larry and Nick. But thank you. And they are fantastic resources.
Is that Larry that has that like kind of a news feed or something?
Oh, you're talking about
You know who I'm
the
talking
Registry
about?
Matters. You're talking about
Yes,
Registry
Registry.
Matters.
Yeah. That's who I
But
was thinking.
no, that's
it's a different
that's
thing.
oh man, I can't think of the name, but he's part of NARSOL. No, Larry Dubin, Dubin.
Speaking, I just want, oh, we have a question, another question. Sorry, I don't want to skip people.
Hang on. Oh, Virginia.
Yes. My question is also about the autism spectrum. My husband was first time offender arrested during COVID, and he, at 73 years old. And it was started in Virginia with the FBI, was not enough information to do any prosecution. So they sent it to the state of Florida to develop a case. So that's where we are. He got 20 years, no parole for being entrapped by a sting for the FBI. And it was very, they were very clear that it was them. It was them that sent the images. He was on the internet because of COVID. He's a professor at a university. He was a pastor in a church. He was a target besides being in the sting. So my question is, do I have it? What is my question? Is my question.
Virginia, were you on when Bonnie Burkhart was on last?
Yes, Bonnie has got my story, and she actually told me to just I was contacting her so much that she told me that to just wait, that she had me. I have written to the governor of Florida. I've gotten information from him for contacts, and I'm going to do that. But my husband is 78 years old now. And this is new. I mean, we knew we had a son that was autistic, Asperger's. He was diagnosed when we were in the military in the Philippines at a research facility there back in the what was that, in the 80s. And he's got two children that are on the spectrum. So we never thought about my husband being on the spectrum because he was a professor, an air traffic controller, a very high pressure job. So he stayed busy. And the things about his the perfection and all the things that come out with an older person with autism, we didn't know it until he was incarcerated and this happened. Now we're sitting 5 hours a day and he wants me to go and sit 5 hours and just hold hands. So here we are getting ready to celebrate our 60th wedding anniversary and he's incarcerated because of COVID shutdown, and he was looking for how other people were handling COVID, and he got caught in the sting.
So it was a federal situation,
It
and
started
they
federal, and they sent it to the state. So now the state of Florida
Oh,
has incarcerated him.
that's, I wonder why. Well, federal is the one that started it. Why didn't they want to
There was not enough.
press it?
They said it was not enough to do federal. And there is a thing. I have done some research, and there is a thing with the federal and the some states. If they don't have enough to prosecute, they will send it to the local where the person lives to develop a case. And there was nothing extra. All they had was what the sting caught, him accepting or opening the images. He didn't want them, but when he opened it, he had possession. That's how they do it. And then he got angry, his autistic anger. He was angry at what the man sent him, and he had a meltdown and sent the same images back to them. So he got Sending for possession and sending.
And distribution.
And
Yeah,
distribution, yeah.
distribution. Yes. So any help, any I'm searching. This has been going on for 5 years. First 3.5 years, he was too far away that I could not see him, but once every 3.5 months. And I knew that we were both so stressed that we did not address what happened. But now he's closer and I see him every week. And it's just in the last 8 months this has developed of what really happened to us.
Yeah.
And this, I mean,
Every time I hear stories like this, it makes me upset and just like, what country are we living in?
no,
Yeah.
seriously, I went last maybe 2 weeks ago or so. I went with a war member to visit. We visited her son. She visited her son, and I visited this guy that calls me on the helpline sometimes. And just the whole process, the standing line outside, and the stuff you have to go through when you go through security, and just the
Group
way they
searching,
treat the people in the visitation room, the combination of all those things, and then just watching like how the guards interact with the inmates and how the inmates, it's like we are clearly causing real harm to people on all different sides of this. And how do we not recognize that this isn't making anything better, you know?
Well, I know stories change people. We were in the military 22 years. We foster parented for 7 years, 14 special needs medical foster babies that were premature born. We had the instruments that whatever the lines they had to be on for their heart or lungs or whatever until they were able to be adopted. And meeting the needs of others, that's who we have been our whole lives. We got married when we were 18, right out of high school, because he was going to be drafted. He joined the Air Force. And we have been, that's all our whole life has been meeting the needs and helping others all over the world. And I know our story will change. It will help somebody. And that's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. And he agrees with me. He trusts me to do with whatever I can find to do with.
Yeah, I think people always say, "Oh, that would never happen to me. I would never do that," you know. But when they watch this story or read a story, yeah, it still might not affect them. They might just still believe what they believe. But I think it just helps someone understand both sides, how that person, like the priest, the story up to the event. You know, what was going on. And not that it excuses the person, but it just gives it more context and things. I guess, okay, I had a question, but there's some, I wasn't sure how long this was supposed to go, but.
We stop in, we have 17 minutes.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Okay, so I'm going to lower Virginia's hand. Was there another hand? Unless Virginia, I mean, keep talking, Virginia. I was just checking her other hands up. There are no other hands up, so it's still yours. But I don't think it would be a bad idea to play, I mean, we got 17 minutes. Gio, if you'd like to play this little short film you made, I wouldn't say no.
Oh, that YouTube clip.
Yeah. I don't know how to actually play
Okay, let
it.
me see.
I sent the
So
link.
I think you could say, like, open it up on your computer. Are you on a computer?
No, I'm on my phone.
Okay, well, I will see if I can play it.
Oh,
So
cool.
let me now I'm sure Chuck is gonna say I'm doing something wrong. So Chuck, feel free to jump in and tell me the thing that I'm doing wrong.
That Chuck from Chuck?
Something loud is happening. Okay, hang on. Sorry, it was very loud.
So yeah,
I gotta find
that
my way back to it because there's too many things happening at the same time and they're very expensive. They're very loud. Stop. Okay, so now I'm gonna say share, and then I'm gonna click on that thing. And I'm going to say share, and Chuck's going to tell me another thing that I was supposed to do, which was
there's two check boxes. One of them's about audio video.
set up professional audio and audio settings.
No, I don't think so.
It's before you share, it's to optimize the video for sharing and to share sound. Otherwise, we won't get the
Okay, hang
sound.
on. So before I hit share, so when I click the little right
No.
box to the right of share,
It's
it
when you
says,
hit share, but just
Okay.
before you share it, you need to make sure up in your right on the right-hand side of the screen, there should be two boxes you can check.
Share sound. Okay.
And optimize
Nice for
for
video sharing. Oh, look at you guys knowing stuff. Okay. I think I'm gonna try to turn my sound down a little because it nearly blasted my earballs out. So now we'll try. Whoops.
I think you have to
Wait, is Jane sharing?
Share audio too or something.
Jane, are you figuring this out? I'm ready to share it if you're not, Jane. I don't know why Jane is sharing. Okay, there we go. All right, so I'm gonna say share, then I'm gonna click that and that, and then I'm gonna click that thing, then I'm gonna click this thing, and then I'm gonna press play. Says can I listen?
Most people believe the sex offender registry keeps them safe, but does it really? Government studies have shown that over 60% of people on Florida's registry aren't even living in the community. They're either incarcerated, deceased, deported, or moved out of.
Women are attracted to.
Sorry, I did a bad thing. I was trying to fix whatever you told me to. Oh, this thing.
Most people believe the sex offender registry keeps them safe, but does it really? Government studies have shown that over 60% of people on Florida's registry aren't even living in the community. They're either incarcerated, deceased, deported, or moved out of state. Yet their names stay, inflating the list, making it seem larger than it really is. Other studies show that 93% of child sexual abuse cases involve someone the victim already knows, and that 95% of sexual offenses are committed by people not on the registry. Yet why do lawmakers keep expanding it? Because fear wins votes, and the registry keeps bringing in millions in funding. But we have a choice. Keep pouring resources into an overinflated registry, or invest in real solutions like prevention, education, and school safety. Visit registryfacts.com today. Call your lawmaker. Challenge them with the facts. It's time for change.
That's really good.
I like it. Oops, hang on, I gotta make it stop.
Thank you.
Stop, sir.
Yeah, you did that for the Florida Action?
Yeah, there's a lot of talent in the Florida Action Committee. Really great ideas and writers, and I just took a lot of notes and put it together. They gave me access to some of the tools, and I ended up having to hire for one of the other projects. I ended up having to hire someone on Fiverr.com to help me find B-roll footage while I worked construction all day. But that really helped. I ended up finding a system where I can get help, at least for the time-consuming task of finding footage. And yeah, it was great to finally put together those projects and skills. And I just need to make more. There's another one. I don't have.
I've actually seen that one. So
great.
The stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, that's it's exciting because that's kind of the stuff I want to do. But I want to go a little deeper than that. That was from a script from the Florida Action Committee, but I like to go deeper with families and real life stories and husbands and wives and families that have changed their lives and aren't the people that the society thinks they are. And those are the things that I definitely want to invest in sometime. That's really the route I wish to go. I'm trying
Gio,
not to.
I would love your contact information.
Cool.
I think I already have most of the other people who've been talking here, but I don't. I'm not met you. So
yeah, and then I'd love to
private message me here. You can just put it in the chat for everybody.
Yeah, let's keep in touch.
Absolutely. My dream is to try to come up with something for the film festival. I'd love to put something together or help someone who's working on something. Like that's really what I want to do. That's what keeps me going.
The films. I just have to be doing something creative or it drives me nuts.
Me too.
So I am not one to work. I mean, I have to make a living, but I'm not one to work 9 to 5 for the rest of my life. I don't know. I look back now and maybe I should have done that. Maybe I should have gotten a regular job at a college.
That's what I say too. Like I would have had a sense of structure.
Yes.
Instead of this. Yeah. Like the feast and famine cycle of film. I experienced that really young and in college, and it just, I didn't have a sense of stability. And then, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's how I kind of feel now. But once that film is done, it's yours. You did it. It's yours forever. Mm-hmm. No one can take it away from you. That's kind of the way I look at it. I mean, even though most of my films are older, it's like, wow, I did that. how did I do that? You know? So that's it's an it's good to have an accomplishment. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Financially up and down, it's difficult.
Someone mentioned divorce. Today I had an interview with a couple, Patrick and Teresa. They are in the process of writing a book to help those on the spectrum to survive incarceration without divorcing. And I did an interview with them today, and I don't know, I got a copy of their book and all, but my story is available. I don't know if anybody wants to touch it. Everybody, I feel like I am, I'm alienated. No one wants to be around me. The child porn, everybody's scared to death. And he had nothing to do with child porn. He only opened something on the internet.
He
And
opened something that they never take down. Something that it could be there for dozens of years. They are never going to take it down because they're just waiting for people to click on it. And people who are not looking for it doesn't occur to them. Like they don't understand that there's like landmines every
Yeah,
5 inches.
basically is what it is. Landmines,
So if there's anything you can use with our story, I am willing to help as much as I can.
yeah. And Virginia, I don't know if you were talking to me specifically on that or as when you were talking about stories, but another thing I want to mention is I know that not everybody wants to have their voice or their face on a Zoom call or in person. And I have started thinking about this and even written stories. I know, like, I think, don't you, Anne, have written
We
stories and
do.
stuff? Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
we have a thing called testimonials.
yeah.
Share your story, you click on it. We've got lots and lots and lots of testimonials on there. And I have some names too of people who have said they'd go public, said that they'd talk to me, and then I just sort of dropped that project. So if you're ready to start talking to people, I've got people who would
Oh
talk to you
yes,
right here on
definitely.
the
I'm
call,
absolutely
honestly.
ready. I wasn't focusing on the written one because I'm more of a video person and a you know, but I think this at least the written stories would be good too.
Hang on, I'm gonna mute somebody. Sherry, you have a hand up? Whoops. Hang on, I'm gonna unmute you one more time. Okay,
In
go.
Germany? Were you recently in Germany?
I
Me?
was,
Oh.
yeah.
Okay, because I know that they changed their laws there to it's a misdemeanor now for child porn.
Wow.
Like
It is.
possession.
Yep. Possession is a misdemeanor.
That's
There was a
smart.
gentleman who moved from the United States to Germany. I can't think of his name right now.
Steven
No.
Witzet.
Stephen.
I
Yeah, I'm
actually
kind of
just saw Steven Witzet last month.
I'm
Yep.
jealous of him.
I
I
was
would
in
love to go.
person. I sat in a field in
Germany.
whatever. Yeah, I've lost the name of the place. I sat in a field. We made a video, and then
Oh.
after we made the video, we realized that nobody's sound was working. We were like,
Yeah,
great.
you should have had me there.
Bavaria. We
Oh,
were in Bavaria. So my
okay.
son is actually in Germany in the asylum.
Wait, in where?
In Germany.
In the
He has
asylum?
abscond he absconded and he's in Germany and he's in the asylum camp.
What does absconded mean
He was
again?
arrested in the United States and then what?
No, I didn't say he was. He
Oh,
was on the
on the
probation,
registry.
right? The registry, and he was on for 15 years and they required him to do some things that were questionable, so like ammonia therapy and some other things. So he absconded, he made it to Germany, and he is in the asylum camp right now.
So they rearrested him in Germany.
No, he's not rearrested. He went voluntarily, said, I'm here under the human rights.
What does asylum mean? Oh,
Asylum, he's
asylum.
protected
Asylum
by Germany.
means
Yeah, he's protected in Germany right now.
for some reason I was thinking
like,
not asylum, but there's another thing that means like for crazy people.
yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking too.
No,
I'm
he
trying to
wasn't
connect it.
committed. No, he
No,
wasn't committed. Isn't there a
it's
word sort of like
insane
asylum?
it's
Asylum.
asking, it's seeking asylum.
Yes.
It's
See, okay.
you're trying to get away from a repressive country, a repressive government. So you're
Right.
seeking asylum, you're seeking protection in
Yes.
this other country.
Sherry, does your son hang out with Stephen Whitsett?
He knows him. Yeah, they've gone to
Oh, cool.
they hang out once in a while.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just met Stephen and Gus, and they talked about the kinds of things they do in the videos they make, and he had a lot of really nice things to say about Germany. In fact, the video we made was basically him saying, hey, people in America, you see the weird stuff that's starting to happen all around you? You may wish, you know, in X years when you get swept up, you know, after they've deported all the immigrants and they come back, you know, they come for you, you may wish that you had a plan and had been learning German for a week. Anyway, his plan is, he says in Germany, they're selling a lot of railway stations for just dirt cheap, like $40,000 will buy you a railway station. And when you get that awesome price on this giant piece of property, you basically just have to promise that you're going to keep it up, you know, and like turn it into something people can use. So Stephen's idea is to make sort of like an underground railroad for people from the United States who need a place to go. They can stay for their first few nights or months or whatever. They can stay in that property until they find a job and housing. And he's got people who will teach them. Like Germany has money, but they don't have enough workers. Mm-hmm. And so they want people with enough intelligence to learn electricians and learn plumbing and learn all the things that they need to get done. And he's like, we could do that on the property, train people up with a skill that they could then use to get good employment. And, you know, both of the guys I talked to that weekend were like, you know, the jobs that they do in America, they would be barely making their ends meet. But there he's like, I earn, can't remember what it was, but it was like a pretty reasonable amount of money. And it's enough that they can live.
He paints a little bit of a rosier picture.
Yeah.
I like Stephen and he's a nice guy and all, but it is a little bit tougher. Just my son's been there 3 years, so it's a little bit harder.
Not always.
Well, greener. Would it be easier here?
It's not always greener. What's that?
Would it be easier here?
Oh, no. Well, no, he has at least some freedom there. I mean, it is very different. And he said he would never want to come back here again.
Yeah. And the way they talk about just the way people think about them, you know, when they run into people, a lot more people are going to be like, well, you served your time, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be able to move on? You know, they don't have the just mean trolling stuff from every angle all the time.
Well, probation's like another whole, story that I've taken notes from 2016 up to now on a lot of different meetings, a lot of different things that have happened and how absurd and crazy they were. But
it's weird because when I moved to Colorado briefly, I was very panicky about having to register. I kind of got lucky because in Washington and Oregon, my level is not public. So I'm not listed publicly. Like my neighbors around here don't know unless they really dig in. But in Colorado, I went from level one to level three.
Yeah.
The same situation. I think level three. It was either two or three, but I was public. But you know, it makes me wonder. It doesn't matter. I guess it doesn't matter if people are really looking into me. It shows how it affects me, how it affects the person on the registry psychologically, because you start to get panicky, like, oh my gosh, does my neighbor know? Does my neighbor know? Did they look? You know, I had this one neighbor who lived near me in Colorado and he was acting really weird towards me. It probably has nothing to do with the registry, but I'm thinking, does he know that I'm on the registry? And so I just did not feel welcome there, even though I don't even know if anybody knew about it. Like, it, I just, yep. So.
Yeah, it's a scarlet letter.
It is. And I could just be, you know, blowing it out of proportion, but. Hypervigilant. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Anyway, I just thought, you know, we were talking about how it is there. And
in Germany, it's interesting that they put it as a misdemeanor. And when you do get caught, it's like 3 to 6 months and it's a private register. Like the police can, have access, but you're not publicly known.
Yeah.
It's not that you have, and nobody has access to that. And I don't know if they went from, if they're decreasing what their sentence is. I don't know why somebody can't think about how we can't follow suit or, you know, show that that's a great example.
I don't have the guts. I don't have the guts to say, I don't know if people saw Larry's message. I mean, I don't know if I could go to my neighbors and tell them straight out, but
Honestly, I mean,
that would be
I
tough.
gotta back up Larry on this one thing. So my partner and I have generally made a policy of everybody we spend time with, everybody we hang out with, our vast, fairly wide community knows that I'm volunteering for war, and they know that he's on the registry, and everybody's chill about it. And in fact, I have anti-registry conversations at social gatherings all the time. We have failed a couple of times. We failed to be the one that tells. One of them was with my sister-in-law, who I swear I really thought she was the first person I ever told. And of course, at this point, I've told his story and he's told his story hundreds of times, but she was the first one. And I practiced it in my head so many times that apparently I didn't have it. I must have got chickened out that day. Anyway, she found out a year later. She has never forgiven me. You know, 5 years, we've been together for 5 years. We're not allowed to go to family dinners. I mean, my mom will have us over, but my sister-in-law and I can't be in the same space anymore because she's never forgiven me.
That's a
So,
shame.
and there's been just a couple of other instances of someone that, you know, we were kind of meaning to tell and didn't tell, and they found out and they never forgive. But we've never had a situation where we told someone, we were the one who did the telling and they didn't love us.
Is it wrong of me to think that you shouldn't have to tell people? Unless,
No,
I mean, like a
I don't think
family
it's
member, I
wrong.
can understand, you know, that kind of situation. But I feel like when we're forced to feel like we have to tell somebody, I don't know how to word this right, but it's like we don't know stories about anybody else. We don't know what they
No,
did.
you're preaching to the
You
choir on
know?
that. We
Okay.
all agree with you on that, but
Okay.
unfortunately, the you know, this is not the world we live in. You know, the United States is not a world like that.
I know. I should have been
Okay.
born in the 18th century or
I just noticed
something.
we're on 8:34, and I try to keep people's whatever, like watch your time, be respectful of people's time. But I'm totally with you on that, Larry. I'm a firm believer in tell people right away, practice it ahead of time. You know, I don't love it. I don't love that we have to do it, but just in my experience, I have much better reactions when I tell the story. You know, and it may depend on what your story is. You know, if your story is I raped my 5-year-old, you may not get the positive feelings. But if your story is what most of the stories are, which is like, you know, looking at too much porn, who hasn't looked at too much porn, right? Most people you tell a porn story to, especially a post-pubescent porn story, most people are like, in their brains, they're like, there, but by the grace of God, go I. Right? Because a lot of people look at a lot of porn. And then you add to that the crossing the age line, consensual things,
Yeah, that's sting
and the
operation.
entrapment things. Most people can see, and the sharing videos, you know, sending somebody a naked picture. Most people can see themselves in those types of stories. So, you know, I've found it very useful to just tell our stories. Okay, I'm going to read just the last couple of comments here and then I'm going to let y'all go home. Okay, so John says within the last 1 to 2 years, a warden of a North Dakota prison was on an official trip to see several European nations, including Germany, to see how Europeans treated prisoners, treated, rehabbed, and worked with inmates. She reported being totally blown away. However, when she tried to introduce various reforms based on those European proven practices in the North Dakota prison, they were all politically and financially shot down within a very short time. Yeah, it's the prison industrial complex, 100%. And you just got to follow that money. I mean, this is what the United States does. This is our main thing we do is we incarcerate people. Follow the money trail, and you know why these laws exist, 100%. And honestly, I think if it wasn't, you know, up until now, they've gotten away with it because they don't do it to that many people. But man, they're really like the snowball is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I really want to believe it's not long before everybody knows, you know, someone who's registry impacted. You know, I think about just my story. I come to this advocacy 4 different ways. You know, my daughter, her future father-in-law is going to be on the registry. My other daughter could be on the registry
Oh my
easily, could have
goodness.
been put on it. My partner's on the registry, and I'm a survivor. So, you know, I think when there are I think it's just a matter of time before the population realizes what's been done to them, and whether we can claw our way back from it is the question, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I've had a really great evening. You want to share some last ideas, Matt?
Oh, no. I appreciate everybody's time. And, you know, if you end up sharing your story or, you know, being a part of this, I appreciate it. You know, it's difficult to do. It's kind of funny that I just said that my comment was, I don't think we need to tell our story. You know, when I was talking to you, Anne, what I meant was, you know, like in personal situations, I guess. But
I would love to not have to tell our story in personal situations.
Yeah, it kind of sounds funny now. Oh, tell your story. But no, we don't need to tell our story. What I meant was like, you know, if you barely knew somebody, you know, like a coworker or something. Obviously, if I started dating someone or got married, they're going to know. But anyway, I appreciate everybody's time and nice seeing some people that I know already.
Okay, I want to show you all, tell you how to save the chat. So, because there was a lot of stuff in the chat, and it might be important that things that you want to have access to. So you're going to go into the chat, you're going to click on those three dots that say more, and then you're going to say save chat.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the things in that chat should show up. Thank you all for coming. Oh, there we go. I've got the thing I need to write down.
Oh, nice. I didn't know you could do that.
All right. Thank you, everybody. I'll see you in 2 weeks. I can't remember who's coming, but it's going to be fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Trying to get to that chat.
On Matt.
It keeps going away.
Yeah. And anybody can always contact me too. Like if you need connecting to one of these people, I could probably find you all through the war room. So,
okay.
If you miss it, you can always email me. You can use the contact on our website, or you can just email me at ann@warfamilyfoundation.org.
Right. And what I can is it, Ann?
Yeah, Gio just gave me his. And I got John. I got Matt. All right.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.